as we read the scripture reading today. Did you wonder if I'm going to talk about faith? I'm going to talk a little about faith. Perhaps you think I'm going to talk about persistence and endurance. I hope we get to touch on that. Maybe we'll talk about God, who will avenge us at the time of the end. Or perhaps we'll talk about patience. When I sit down today, I hope we've touched on all these topics. But most of all, I'm hoping you've taken inventory of yourself and your relationship with God. The Spirit of Prophecy says, the blessed hope of our Lord's return with its solemn realities needs to be brought to the forefront more often than it is. I was impressed this morning that there may be souls sitting in this sanctuary today and sitting in sanctuaries around the world who are on the path to destruction. And I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death because I might be one of them. The only thing that will lead us to regard this earth and the things that it offers as foolishness is the looking forward to the soon appearing of our Lord. We are to throw aside our narrow, selfish plans and remember that each of us have a work to do, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. In doing the work that God has appointed us each to do, we will be sounding the first, second, and third angel's message, thus preparing the people for the fourth angel's message, which we find in Revelation 18. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. You know you're in trouble when I bring these, right? No, I hope this message will be encouraging. I want to read a story to you this morning. This comes from a book that I bought years ago. It has 7,700 illustrations, and oftentimes it's gotten me out of a jam when I wanted a story for a certain situation or for a certain message. This is number 7528, and it's called A Greater Enemy. Long ago, William Law warned that the world is now a greater enemy to the Christian than it was in apostolic times. It is a greater enemy because it has greater power over Christians by its favors, riches, honors, rewards, and protection that it had by the fire and the fury of its persecutors. It is a more dangerous enemy by having lost its appearance of enmity. Its outward profession of Christianity makes it no longer considered as an enemy, and therefore the people are easily persuaded to resign themselves up to be governed and directed by it. That's kind of what Sheila was talking about this morning, the world and the things that are happening in the world. Let me share with you from 6T, page 406, because this is what I'm going to be talking about today. It says, the day of the Lord is approaching with stealth dread, but the supposed great and wise men knew not the signs of Christ's coming or the end of the world. Iniquity abounds, and the love of many has waxed cold. There are thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions, who are now making their decision for eternal life or eternal death. The man who is wholly absorbed in his counting room, a man who finds pleasure at the gaming table, the man who loves to indulge perverted appetite, the amusement lover, the frequenters of the theater and the ballroom put enmity out of their reckoning. The whole burden of their life is, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and wherewithal shall we be clothed? They are not in the possession that is moving heavenward. They are led by the great apostate and with him will be destroyed. That's encouraging, isn't it? It is if you're looking forward to Christ coming, and that's what we're all looking forward to. But unless we understand the importance of the moments that are swiftly passing each of us by, and unless we make ready to stand in the day of the Lord, we shall be considered unfaithful stewards. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, as Linda read, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Are you an unfaithful steward? Am I? How are your eyes? Are they open? Can you see yourself in this category as being an unfaithful steward? I hope not. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, and I want to begin with verse 1. Isaiah 62, verse 1. "For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called the Hesabah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent." And that's what I want to talk about today, watchmen. I have another story that I want to share with you about Pearl Harbor. It's called Pearl Harbor, What If? Pearl Harbor, the morning of December 7th, 1941, found 353 Japanese airplanes swarming all over the harbor site. Within a couple of hours, America lose 8 big battleships, 6 major airfields, almost all planes, and 2,400 men. That happened at 7:50 a.m. in what supposedly was a surprise attack, but these are the startling facts. That morning at 7 a.m., while the Japanese warplanes were 137 miles or 50 minutes away, 2 U.S. soldiers on a small radar station in the Pacific scanned the screen and saw dots, and dots appearing, until the whole screen was filled. These soldiers notified their youthful supervisor, a lieutenant. No other officer was around, that being it a Sunday. The lieutenant thought these must be planes from California, and without another thought, said these crucial words, "Don't worry about it." There would have been time to scramble the planes at Pearl Harbor, prepare the battleships, and shelter the men. But this lieutenant, at his most responsible moment of his career, failed the nation. What is a watchman, and what does he do? The Hebrew word here is shamar, which means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend to observe, and to preserve. Just in case you didn't know it, that's what you are. You are all watchmen. In days past, they sat on the wall of the cities and watched. They watched for dangers. They also watched for blessings and warning the people or to rejoice with them. I got a quote in here from Testimonies, Volume 4, page 402. It says, "The watchmen anciently placed upon the walls of Jerusalem and other cities occupied a most responsible position. Upon their faithfulness depended the safety of all within the city. When danger was apprehended, they were not to keep silent day or night. Every few moments, they were required to call to one another to see if all were awake and no harm had come to any." Sentinels were stationed upon some eminence overlooking the important posts to be guarded, in the city of, and the cry of warning, or of good cheer, was sounded from them. This was borne from one to another, each repeating the words, till it went the entire round of the city. These watchmen represented the ministry upon whose fidelity depends the salvation of souls. The stewards of the mysteries of God should stand as watchmen upon the walls of Zion, and if they see the sword coming, they should sound the note of warning. If you are sleepy sentinels, and their spiritual senses are so benumbed that they see and realize no danger, and the people perish, God will require their blood at the watchman's hands. These were the men and women who stood between the living and the dead. A heavy responsibility rests on each of these people. If they went down, they didn't go down alone. Always there was others that went down with them. I remember once when I was in the Marine Corps, we were out on field operations, and we had two guys in our platoon that didn't really care much for each other. One of them was a big guy from Minnesota, and the other one was from Pennsylvania. Their names were Deedle and Hicks, and because Deedle was such a big man, he carried the M60 machine gun for our platoon, and Hicks was just a private that did what he was told most of the time. But I remember being out there in the field, and Deedle was on guard duty one evening, and Hicks snuck out there, and of course Deedle had fallen asleep, and Hicks took the machine gun, buried it in the sand. And the next morning, or the next time the guard went to tell Deedle it's time for him to go back to sleep and somebody else was going to take watch over him, couldn't find his machine gun. And Hicks never told him till the next morning, when everybody in the camp knew about it by then. But had we been on maneuvers or been at war, to do something that ignorant, I mean, it's one thing to wake the guy up, but Deedle was asleep at his watch. Him going to sleep could have cost us all our lives. And that's kind of what I'm getting at today with us being watchmen. It's kind of the way it is in our spiritual lives. If we go down, we don't go down alone. Every one of you are watchmen, not just the elders of the church or just not the people we vote in every June as officers of the church, but everyone who attends this church is a watchman. God has entrusted each of us with a truth, and we're to be the watchmen of that truth and to share it. And if you go down, if you slip and fall, you'll take someone down with you. And according to the scripture reading, it won't just be on, the loss will be on your head, not especially on the person that you were supposed to share the message with. Some of you might be saying, that's not fair. You can't hold that against us. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. I actually thought of this message because last week the pastor spoke to all three churches at Greenfield, and he was trying to get it, are we ready? Are each individual sitting out there listening to him speak ready to meet the Lord because of the coming events and the things that are happening in the world and the turmoil? Were we ready? And it made me begin to think about us. Ezekiel 33, and beginning with verse 1, it says, And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of the people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet, and awares the people, and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet, and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, And the sword comes and takes any person from among them. He is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the hand of the watchmen's. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. In verse 9, nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? And that's each of our responsibilities. The Lord has shared with us great truths, especially some of them that we found in the spirit of prophecy, and we're to share those with others and not hold back. I'm reading so much, but a lot of this I got from the spirit of prophecy, so I want to share another verse with you I found in Testimonies, Volume 4, page 403. It says, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. The watchman will need to live very near to God to hear his word and to be impressed with his spirit, that the people might not look to them in vain. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked in his way and to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered my soul. Ambassadors of Christ should take heed that they do not, through their unfaithfulness, lose their own souls and the souls of those who hear them. I was shown the churches in different states that profess to be keeping the commandments of God and looking for the second coming of Christ. There is an alarming amount of indifference, pride, love of the world, and cold formality existing among them. And these are the people who are fast coming to resemble ancient Israel, so far as the want of piety is concerned. Many make high claims to godliness and yet are destitute of self-control. Appetite and passion bear sway. Self is made prominent. Many are arbitrary, dictatorial, overbearing, boastful, proud, and unconsecrated. Yet some of these people are ministers handling sacred truths. Unless they repent, their candlestick will be moved out of its place. So, is everybody happy? This sounds terrible, I know. I mean, when you read it like that, it sounds like an awesome responsibility, and you start to think about the things that you're doing or not doing or should be doing, and you maybe start to feel guilty and down. But the good news is that Jesus is going to take care of us. When you accept the truth and you said, Lord, I'll live for you, you volunteered to be a watchman. Nobody twisted your arm. So this morning I ask, watchman, how are your eyes? Are they open? Can you see what's coming? Do you know where you stand? And are you doing anything about it? Do you have a sin that you just can't seem to shake? Now is not the time to give up. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21. Oh, look at me. Thought I had it marked. Here I am in Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 11. It says, the burden against Duma. He calls to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Page 431. says, "Watchmen, what of the night?" Isaiah 21:11. "Are the watchmen of whom this demand is made able to give the trumpet a certain sound? Are the shepherds faithfully caring for the flock as those who must give an account? Are the ministers of God watching for souls, realizing that those under his care are the purchase of the blood of Christ?" First, what is that certain sound? Are you abreast of what's going on in the world? One magazine shoots its label out there, inquiring minds want to know. I'm impressed a lot of times when I come to church and I see and talk to people who've read this or heard that, and then they shared it with us. I'm not a big news person. I go home in the evening and I see what the weather's going to be for tomorrow, and I'm pretty well done with it, because other than that, all the deaths and stuff, I don't care much for it. But I know John, when he gives a sermon, a lot of times I get a lot of great information from him, because he's one that watches the news and knows what's going on across the sea. And so that's the kind of people we have to be. We have to know what's going on so we can share it with others. I read part of a Time magazine article the other day. The article had to do with a woman priest. Some of you might say that's no big deal. We actually have one out here on State Road 9. But we don't have one quite like this one, at least that I know about. You see, this woman was an ordained lesbian priest. Did you know that only 57% of those who attend church regularly thought that was wrong? 57%. People don't know God or what God's word says, but the watchman better know him, and the watchman better know what his word says, because that's the only defense that we have. You can't give that trumpet that certain sound unless you personally know what's going on. I think I've mentioned before to you that one year up at camp meeting, I took a class on harmonetics. Dwight Nelson gave it the year he was up there. It was on how to put a sermon together. And I loved the class. I didn't learn a lot, but I loved the class. But I think I've shared with you before, he said there's three things that you have to do in order to be a good speaker and to be able to share the Word of God. He said, first, you have to read. You all like reading? No? Okay. Well, that's the first thing you have to do. You have to read. He said, secondly, you have to read. Whatever you can get your hands on, magazines, newspapers. He said when he's in the plane flying from city to city, he's always reading something. And I've noticed that Pastor Case, every time I see him, he's carrying a Spirit of Prophecy book with him. And when we go to the hospital to visit somebody and one of the ministers is there, they have something with them, so they're always reading. And he said the last and the most important thing you have to do is read. You have to be informed. You have to know what's going on in the world so you can share with people what the Bible says. He said, if you don't like to read, brother, you've got problems. And I'm not a big reader. I've become more of one since we started our little Bible studies, small group studies, because it forces you to, I suppose, more than anything. But I've learned a lot doing that. I've spent more time in the Word and in the Spirit of Prophecy and been able to share that with others. The art of sharing the gospel is to take the big W. This is Dwight Nelson's word. Take the big W, which is the Word of God, and make it into the little W that you can share with people. And you can't do that unless you read. This morning I asked, watchmen, what of the night? How are your eyes? Are they open? Can the blind lead the blind? If you continue on the same path that you're on today, when Jesus comes, will you say, this is our Lord whom we have waited on? Or will you be among those who cry for the rocks to fall on them? These are solemn times. We don't realize just how close to the coming of the Lord is. In Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 26, it says, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause. They call the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them on these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? What will you do in the end? This is the thought I want to leave you with this morning. You are the watchman. Each one of us are the watchman. I think it's our duty to take time each day to study the Word of God and to be prepared to give an answer when somebody asks. But what will you do in the end is what Isaiah asked, or Jeremiah. You know, in Isaiah 6, verse 8, when God called Isaiah, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." But the question this morning is, what will you do in the end? Thank you.